For the Medical Journal of Australia, I'm Kate Swanell. Welcome to the MJA podcast. I'd like to begin today by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land on which this podcast is recorded, the Djabal and Jarawer peoples from Toowoomba in southeast Queensland. I would also like to pay my respects to elders past, present and emerging. Today my guests are speaking to us from Arunta land, Alice Springs. Dr. Simon Quilty is a public health physician from the National Centre for Epidemiology and Population Health at ANU. Mr. Norman Jiparula is a Warramungu elder and director of the Jula Likari Council Aboriginal Corporation in Tennant Creek in the Northern Territory.
Two sides of the story, you know, we're going to walk together, white and black, you know, and we should be all at one.
Simon and Norm recently fought to get solar panels put on Norm's house in Tennant Creek, securing a constant power supply so Norm could keep his insulin refrigerated and his home cool in the 49 degrees Celsius temperatures which hit Tennant Creek this past summer. They and their co-authors recently wrote a perspective for the MJA on climate, housing, energy and Indigenous health. Simon and Norm are my special guests today. Thanks both for being here. Thanks for organising it, Simon. How do you survive, Norm? How's Tennant Creek these days in terms of your health and how it helps you stay healthy?
A lot better than before anyway. Not like it was before, because when I used to stay, I used to have no aircon, no split system, no.
Yep.
And I used to pop power cards in nearly every day, but now it's a bit easier now with that solo panel on top of my roof.
Norm and I fought to get solar panels. His is the first Indigenous social house in the Northern Territory to have panels on its roof.
And are there plans for more, Simon?
Well, I was just, I'm the one just like experience it and see what's the process I have to go through. Well, I went through a bit up and down with power and water and with the local government and with the housing and that. Probably somebody else will probably get one now, because they keep on asking me how easy your job was. It was a bit hard, but it took me, nearly 12 months, 6 months to switch the power on.
Jabura and I started trying to put the panels on the roof about a year ago, and Department of Housing put all these roadblocks in, and Parramatta were not easy to deal with. And I guess the reason that Norm and I did it was to prove that it could be done. And now, when was the last time you disconnected?
Well, no, I can't remember.
Never since the panels went on, as you disconnected.
Yep.
And before the panels went on, how often were you getting disconnected?
Oh, nearly every week.
Yeah.
Nearly every second day or nearly third day.
Because you would have been, were you on a prepaid card?
Yeah, prepaid card. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So you run out of credit. Yeah. So what difference has it made in terms of your health, Norm? Does that mean you have a fridge running all the time? Air conditioners, stuff like that,
I don't have to go back into the clinic and renew my insulin all the time, because my insulin, when I used to power go off and the fridge go off, that, you know, I got to go and get renew new insulin, my sugar levels.
And I think people who are not from a town like Tennant Creek, which is one of the hottest towns in Australia, they don't realise that in summer, if the power goes off, the inside of the house goes well above 40 degrees Celsius and insulin cooks.
Oh, yeah.
Life gets pretty bloody hard. It's hard to imagine how it would be like in a house when the power switches off.
Do doctors ask the right questions, Norm? Do they ask you, when they say you've got diabetes, you need to be on insulin, do they ask you if you've got a fridge?
No, they don't ask me that question, really.
Yeah.
They don't even ask me to put in, and they don't know how we live too. They think we, you know, wealthy people with everything waiting for us at back home, but there's nothing there for us, really, you know.
One of the other things to recognise as well for Norm is that, Norm, you're one of the wealthier Warramunga people in Tennant Creek, eh?
Yep. I know people in high places to support and help me too, you know. But these people, some of these people still live in these tin sheds and without power, without water, and they still go to work and go to school from out of there. Yeah.
So what do you want to see happen, Norm? Do you want to see, like, solar power put on all those homes?
Yeah. Like, I can see a water line there and, you know, and at least running water for them. People who live in these houses, tin houses.
Even for young people, even for your family, Norm, for your kids, adult children with their own children, the idea of getting your own house is people don't even believe that they could get their own house. It's, right. it's the wait list is so incredibly appallingly long in the Northern Territory that
yep.
young families with kids can wait over 500 weeks to get
wow.
their public housing. And there's just been a complete failure within state and federal planning around housing for First Nations people across the Northern Territory.
You know, some of us people, we that's why, and the government always say why we live in overcrowded, because we overcrowded because housing.
Like you wouldn't do it if you didn't have to.
Yeah, like in my house, no, nearly about 18 or 19 of us live in one house.
How often would you see a white fella politician come to Tennant Creek?
Come to Tennant Creek probably once in every 3 or 4 months. The page will come there once a year, probably.
So there's a new federal government now. Do you want to see them show up and see what it's actually like?
Yeah, it'd be good if they start coming and see how, you know, what we got to tell them and what we got to say, you know, and hear our voices too, you know, and come see us face to face and how we live, you know, instead of guessing and thinking how what we're doing from Darwin, from the Parliament,
yep.
come down and see us. Come down and check us out and
yeah.
see our community.
One of the things, you know, we talk about the need for healthcare, and for a lot of people living in remote communities, we wonder where the gap is. But for people that live and work up here, you can see the gap with your eyes. You do
yep.
not need any more research to show what the solutions are. In fact, people that talk about conducting research in these kind of environments are kind of perpetuating this myth that somehow doctors and healthcare can actually fix these problems. The problems are all to do with a lack of engagement in appropriate housing and developing agency for people in communities like Norm so that they can actually design their own house that's climate friendly. So one of the problems with a lot of these old houses is that they're so poorly constructed that they don't even have insulation in the ceilings and the walls. And
yeah.
this is in a climate where it's now getting to what? Got to 49.9 degrees Celsius last summer, didn't it?
Yep.
I'm chatting today with Dr. Simon Quilty from ANU and Norm Jiparula, a Warramungu elder from Tennant Creek. Their co-authored perspective is available at mja.com.au, where it is free to access. The full link can be found in the show notes for this podcast. The 4th of July issue of the MJA is our annual Indigenous health-themed issue, and it is now available online. Again, the full link is in the show notes. All Indigenous health content in this issue is free to access. You will find papers on birthing on country, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander adolescent health, life expectancy for Indigenous peoples, a study protocol for SisterQuit, a trial training health providers to help First Nations women to quit smoking, and research on the high prevalence of hearing loss among urban Aboriginal infants. There's also a narrative review on research outputs since the introduction of Closing the Gap. Back to our chat with Simon and Norm. Simon, what do you reckon things like solar power, what do you reckon they'll do for patient outcomes for guys and people like Norm? What does it do to improve health?
For people who understand what living in remote North Australia is like, it is very hot.
Yeah.
Many of these houses have the bare minimum and none of them have solar panels. And so as we've demonstrated in some research that was published earlier this year,
yep.
these houses disconnect on average up to every fourth day, and when there's really hot weather up to every third day for on average 10 hours at a time. So people move from house to house. And we saw, for instance, during the pandemic that these houses were severely overcrowded. The virus spread like wildfire through these communities, and we yep. know all of this. The solution to rheumatic heart disease, a disease which is starting to recur and get worse in the Northern Territory rather than better, comes about because in these houses, people are stacked like sardines, streptococcus grows everywhere,
yep.
and people are hypercolonized with streptococcus and they develop rheumatic heart disease. The solution to things like rheumatic heart disease is not a vaccine, it is improving housing. And a very simple example was Jabrula's house, where we put panels on the roof. And you used to be very worried about the power switching off in the really hot weather, didn't you?
Yeah.
So Norm has his own health problems, but
yep.
just living in a house that's that hot is unimaginable.
Yeah.
And then if you've got chronic health problems, and then if you don't have much money and all of your food spoils.
Norm, what would you like to see happen? Well, we know what you'd like to see happen. Everybody should have a decent house and some solar panels and some air conditioning and a fridge that works. The situation you're in now, does it make you happier to be in Tennant Creek? Do you feel better? Do you feel better in yourself?
Yeah, it's better on my roof, but I like to see a better housing and better structure. And I like to see my own design. You know, I want to get my own design. And if we can build a house with something with, so that we can have breezeway and we can live freely, you know, and more space.
Warramunga people have been living in this very hot climate for thousands of generations. There's no one better to be involved in the planning of new buildings than Warramunga people. To date, Aboriginal people across the territory have been completely excluded from housing design.
How do we change that? Is it a matter of making your designs and putting them in front of politicians?
Well, I think it starts with an honest acknowledgement and some truth-telling about what circumstances are like at the moment and not hearing any backlash from any politician that's ever been to Tennant Creek, because it is undeniable and it is true. Housing is woefully inadequate, poorly designed, ageing, poorly maintained. There's policies and practices in place in the Northern Territory that are really absolutely shameful. It's a starting form. Once everybody's acknowledged that, then we can get on and find solutions. And it was really so easy, really, in retrospect. Normally, we decided to put panels on your roof and we did it. We just need to replicate that. We need to have support. We need to have bipartisan support from Canberra and Darwin to find a solution finally. It's 2022. We're living in the shadow of climate change and we need action immediately.
Queensland, and we get a, you know, I can get solar panels put on my roof tomorrow with a $3,000 rebate. Why is it so hard? Why is it so hard to get it done in the NT?
So for Norm's house, there was no rebate given. In fact, when we first approached Department of Housing, they said they couldn't do it because it's an Indigenous house without qualifying. And then they qualified by saying that they acknowledged that they couldn't assure the structural integrity of the roof. So we had to get an engineer in to certify the roof. And this is all through the great works of Original Power, a really amazing Indigenous organisation that's promoting renewables. We then had to battle with them. They made Norm sign a waiver that when he moves out of his house, that he pays for the removal of those panels. And, you know, the irony there is that there is no house that Norm will ever be able to move out of if circumstances don't change.
Yeah.
And then we had to battle Power and Water, who put every single barrier that they possibly could in front of Norm's way. So forget about even giving us $3,000 to support us. Just don't obstruct us. I think that it's time. So Norm and I had a chat about the importance of Uluru Statement of the Heart and a voice to Parliament. And one of the problems, and Norm, I'll let you talk on this, one of the problems is that there's never been a transparent agreement between First Nations people and the colonisers about how to engage appropriately. What do you reckon, Jabula?
I reckon that's true, because I thought we put that Uluru statement there for like a Bible for our people to think and understand, you know, but we, and two sides of the story, you know, we got to walk together, white and black, you know, and we should be all at one. But you know, we need to let people know about that. But some of our people don't understand what the Uluru Statement is. But you know, they need to know. That's why we put that stamp there. You know, it's a sealed thing. You know, for our people to walk and talk together and get things done.
Yeah. So there's a set of basic laws that we can all fall back on if it falls apart.
Yeah.
And I guess the other thing that people like Gabrula have taught me. Norman's ancestors have lived in this land and know how to live with heat in ways that us Western people have no idea. We've got so much that we could potentially learn, culturally and socially adapt to a hotter future. We should be providing plenty of space for authentic First Nations voices in how we are all going to walk into climate change together.
Norm, thank you. I really appreciate you coming and talking to me today.
No, thank you.
Good on you. Yeah. Simon, thanks. My thanks to my special guest today. Don't forget that all our podcasts are open access and available at www.mja.com.au/podcasts. Or you can subscribe to our feed at iTunes. My name's Kate Swanell, and we'll see you next time.